Bam 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 bam. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Go Help Yourself, a comedy self-help podcast to make life suck less. And this is the podcast where, oh boy, do we do a lot of things.
We do.
We cover some of the world's most popular self-help books mm-hmm. and review them. Mm-hmm. We dive into articles, mm-hmm. concepts, mm-hmm. ideas. Mm-hmm. We've been known to have trivia. Mm-hmm. We've even had a couple authors on the podcast because we are a medium deal.
Wow.
Solid medium.
Okay.
That's, you know what?
I thought you meant like different medium we cover.
Mm-mm, no, no, no. I was talking about our quality.
We're a hot
caliber. Meh. Yeah. I'm sorry. Hashtag hot meh is the new thing. Everybody. Do you remember Risky Biscuit? Years ago.
I sent you that picture because I was at a restaurant where they had two menu items named Risky Biscuits.
Thank you. Why? I don't even remember why we said Risky Biscuit.
You said that's a Risky Biscuit and people sent in their, biscuit.
Their
you
drawings. Drew them. That's right. Yeah, and our listeners drew in, they sent in our drawings. Anyway, this is the voice of Misty Stinnett. I am joined by the wonderful Lisa Linky.
Oh, thank you.
Whose voice is extra deep today.
It is.
Which we've been enjoying.
Do you like a Barry White self-help podcast? Because this is the place to be.
I would listen.
Okay.
I would listen.
Well, listen in.
Okay, so I'm coming into this one blind.
That's right.
Lisa is covering a topic of some kind, mm-hmm. and I don't know what it is.
Misty, remember when we talked about, is self-help possible?
Yeah, like, is wellness really attainable? We have an episode called The Myth of Wellness.
Right.
Because, oh my God, it doesn't actually sound like it's attainable for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, this was sprung out of that.
Wow.
I saw this concept in one of those articles that we talked about, and okay. I did a rabbit hole, and here we are.
She is pulling on the sweat of the thread of the sweater.
And the sweat of the threader.
The sweat of the threader and the thread of the sweater, and it is unraveling.
Okay. Misty, we're going to talk today about how to fight internalized capitalism.
Okay. I'm going to go take a nap real quick. Got to prepare the brain.
I'm going to start off with the definition.
Yeah.
Internalized capitalism is this idea that our self-worth is directly linked to our productivity, according to Anders Hayden, a political science professor at Dalhousie University in Nova Scotia. He says, you can't feel value in yourself just for being alive, just for being a human being. You have to be a human doing to have any value. So this was a piece from USA Today. And Hayden said, while the term may be increasingly popular, the concept of internalized capitalism is not new. It appears to be a more novel way of describing the Calvinist work ethic. He said, a value that equates hard work and success with salvation. The mm-hmm. Calvinists had this incredible doubt of whether they were worthy. And to prove that they were worthy, they had to be able to show that they could be continually industrious and continually producing and frugal as well.
Hayden so we said, can blame the Calvinists for how right. badly our inner monologues speak to us.
That's right. And so in this article, Hayden said that the term appears to be especially popular among young people, which he finds unsurprising given the pressures younger workers face to make something of themselves while navigating the crush of student debt and high cost of housing.
Oh, God.
All right. How to diagnose.
Are you okay?
I am recovering from a flu that I got on vacation, and it shows up in my nose when I try to say ends. How to diagnose internalized capitalism? I say, if you're American, you probably have it. If you identify as female, you definitely have it.
I'm fine.
No, seriously. If you've ever struggled with getting to bed or falling asleep because you feel you didn't achieve enough, you've already internalized it. Mm-hmm. So I found an article from Learntrepreneurs.
Okay. We're really, what is it called
when it's portmanteau.
We are really, really stretching the edges of the portmanteau. Favorite portmanteau? Brunch. Breakfast and lunch put together.
I like the ones I make up in the moment.
Like?
Internalized capitalism.
Internalism.
honestly so impressive.
Oh, it's one of my love languages.
Wait, listen, if I don't use the sound effects that are available to us, okay. But I do want to use one right now. Excellent job, Lisa.
Thank you. Okay, so on Learnchipreneurs, they gave 7 indicators of internalized capitalism. So Misty, I would love if you would just yay or nay if you've experienced these. Your self-worth is tied to your productivity.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. They mentioned that because, quote, the internet is full of productivity porn. Hard not to judge your own productivity. So life hacks, you know, ways to save time, management.
This one simple trick saved me hundreds of hours. I love
calling it productivity porn.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Second one, you feel guilty when you do something enjoyable.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
All of these I say yes to. This one, you not so much, but number 3, you prioritize work over health.
Yay. I mean, I don't think any more if I truly have some agency there, but for the first 10 years of my career, mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Number 4, three versions of this. You equate rest with laziness. You have to earn your downtime, work hard, play hard.
Yeah, all 3.
Number 5, activities exist in hierarchies. And what I mean here, quote, internalized capitalism downgrades all activities that don't make you win the race. For example, they give this great example to help describe this. So which do you rank as better or more valuable, reading a historical fiction book or taking an online course?
Mm-hmm. Taking the online course.
Right. And number 6, you prioritize work over relationships. Individualistic orientation is at the heart of advanced capitalism. You are responsible for yourself, with an entire society valuing self-sufficiency. Most people don't allow themselves to need people or ask for help, end quote.
This is a really rich one for me. Mm-hmm. I will only spend a couple seconds on it, but 100%. And I have both been on the receiving end of someone prioritizing work over relationships. That has just been infuriating because it's like, you can just see how it's not working at all. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end, it's just like this idea that anybody actually does anything by themselves at all is absurd. Mm-hmm. Like none of us do. There's no one who's truly a lone wolf who doesn't have help, even from like a delivery driver dropping off your dinner or the farmer making your, you know, producing your food. It's like, oh God.
I know. Ugh. The last and not least, number 7, you optimize for personal and monetary growth.
Oh my God. Well, think about this. Every single person, like talk about productivity porn. Mm-hmm. The subcategory of that is how to monetize your hobby, how to monetize your talent. Like
gig economy.
Exactly. And it's like, it's hustle culture is just toxic productivity rebranded as like something cool. Mm-hmm.
So from an article titled Internalized Capitalism and 4 Conscious Ways to Combat It, and I will link all of these in show notes. This was a blog post from the website Unbounded Potential. Okay. And it links our present to our past as well. So, quote, internalized capitalism is a systemic problem and not simply an individual one that many of us feel so deeply challenged by. Our country was founded on the principle of capitalism, and the hard truth is that some were oppressed in order for others to thrive, end quote. Mm-hmm. So they outline 4 ways to start to dismantle internalized capitalism. Number 1, contend with our origin story. They say this is a we problem, not a you problem. Quote, when I can remind myself that the worth of an individual, myself or others, being tied to their level of productivity or how much they can produce, achieve, and create is a function of the world I grew up in as much as it is a mindset to let go of, end quote. Mm. Celebrate successes, ours and theirs, versus just stating them and getting back to work. And I'm thinking of Niecy Nash-Betts and her Emmy's acceptance speech. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. She was like, first of all, I thank myself.
Yeah, that is an epic speech.
Number 2, you'll like this. Embrace rituals.
I love a ritual.
Internalized capitalism is a sneaky bugaboo, they say. The joy and satisfaction of meeting a hard-won goal or overcoming a significant obstacle are real, But when the goal or the obstacle is what we fixate on and derive our sense of self and enjoyment from, we're robbing ourselves of the experience of true contentment in the present. Number three, normalize leisure. What if you started by embracing not being busy, allowed yourself to be idle, practiced being fully present? And last but not least, find like-minded conscious creators aligned with businesses, people, et cetera, that are on a similar journey to dismantle or who value dismantling internalized capitalism.
I think that might be the most important one, because when you surround yourself with people who are like, and they might not call it, hey, I'm dismantling internalized capitalism. It might look like this. I want to prioritize my family over my work. Mm-hmm. So I'm setting up my business, or I'm putting boundaries around my freelance work mm-hmm. so that I can do that. Mm-hmm.
Or I will not work past 6 p.m.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think when I surround myself with people who are doing things a different way mm-hmm. or operating at a level in any capacity mm-hmm. that I want to be operating at, whether that's like more maturity, more openness, or they're more successful, it's like, yeah, surrounding yourself with those people kind of... It
shows you the possibility.
Well, and it normalizes it, right? Because yes. And that's the thing, I think like I grew up in a family of really, really incredible, intelligent, high-performing women. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, the message was like, I did it all by myself and I didn't get any help from anybody. And right. look how clever I am. And then everyone was rewarded. And so I have had to work really hard to learn how to ask for help, to say like, actually it's lonely when I do it by myself. But yeah. like, anyway, I mean, that's what was normalized for me
yeah.
growing up. So I have to give myself a new normal now.
I'm a female WASP Midwesterner with a work ethic that, you know, is core to who I am. This is hard that's work right. for me.
So hard.
I have one last article. This is a blog post from A Better Life therapy practice in Pennsylvania. Mm. And they talk about internalized capitalism and mental health. And the author, Svea Wensler, she's a therapist there, created a list of how it showed up or could show up
well,
in mental
helpful.
Health. And it was fantastic. Great. So some of the ways that internalized capitalism shows up in mental health in our daily lives. The Sunday scaries, if you work Monday through Friday.
The Sunday scaries. Oh, yeah.
Exhaustion, chronic stress, foregoing activities that bring you joy and pleasure and instead choosing to focus on productive things, mm-hmm. worrying about maximizing your potential, worrying about your value, not resting because that is lazy, anxiety about being good enough at our jobs, being fired, having health insurance, depression, transactional mm-hmm. thinking, if mm-hmm. I work out, then I deserve a donut. Imposter syndrome.
Or I can't have that donut if I didn't work out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Imposter syndrome, worrying about being promoted, worry that we are inadequate if we're not perfect, and keeping emotions in and repressing anger. Mm-hmm. And then they give a list of how to challenge internalized capitalism.
Great.
Rest. See if you can rest without giving yourself reasons or justifications for deserving it. You don't need to earn rest. You need it.
I just want to say from experience, if this internalized capitalism and this, it's not even like a thought of like, oh, I can't or I shouldn't. Let me just change my thought. It is a deep, for me, it was a deeply embedded feeling. When I actually rested, and so much anxiety would come up. Mm-hmm. I would like almost have an anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. And it was only through working with a professional mm-hmm. who could help me It just do slow practices to, and it took me maybe like 6 months
oh, yeah.
or a year of working in therapy to actually be able to have a lazy Saturday and not freak out. Mm-hmm. And so I would
challenge the use of the word lazy.
Oh, thank you.
To have a Saturday where you enjoyed yourself.
That's right. Where there was no, I wasn't trying to accomplish anything. I was just enjoying the day or like, it feels really good to snuggle in bed. Let me do that. But like, I just want to offer, it's really easy and a listicle, even something that's as helpful as what mm-hmm. you're reading, to be like, try not to da-da-da-da. And it's like, if you find yourself deeply struggling with rest and you're like, no, I just can't sit still, that could be a sign that you need to bring in
oh, yeah.
some more robust help.
I also think about in Glennon Doyle's book where-
Untamed?
Was it her? No, I think it was Girl, Wash Your Face.
Oh, Rachel Hollis.
When she talks about how somebody said, you need to slow down, and she imagined a shark stop moving and it just sank to the bottom and it made her so anxious. It was one of the two.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? The people with internalized capitalism like really strongly, may be more likely to write books or grow audiences.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to think about where these messages are coming from. Is it a self-selecting group of people?
Yeah, I think also to think about this concept, it's like when we, back in 2020 and 2021, were interested in, you know, examining racism as internalized and in systems and in our country. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's woven into the fabric of our country. Capitalism is woven into the fabric of our country. Mm-hmm. Asking if you've internalized capitalism is like asking a fish how the water is, right?
Like, yeah, you're like, I'm not in water.
The second thing you can do is affirm yourself. Mm-hmm. I need things. I'm allowed to need things and get my needs met. The third thing, begin to examine how you spend your time. Add pleasurable activities if you can. Add whimsy or fun or play. Do enjoyable activities. Add an enjoyable activity to your Sunday evening or your Monday morning to help combat those Sunday scaries and that feeling of needing to be on. Mindfulness on any scale. She says, mindfully get out of bed and then make your bed. Mindfully make your morning coffee or tea. You do this so well. Mindfully fold your clothes when you put them away. I don't do that.
I don't love a mindful laundry fold. I like to distract myself by listening to a podcast or audiobook, but I will say something tasty, like that morning cup of coffee, mm-hmm. real easy to be like, ooh, what does this smell like? It's warm in my hands.
Yeah, so whatever you choose can be mindful.
Yeah.
And then three more. Engage in activities you are not excellent in. Practice doodling. Practice being compassionate with yourself mm-hmm. As you learn something new or enjoy something that you're not good at simply for enjoying it, right? Mm-hmm. Try to eliminate the words should and deserve from how you speak to yourself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Try could or need. Give yourself permission to acknowledge how difficult it is to manage living under capitalism. This does not mean you are not working hard enough. It does not conflict with your work ethic. So those are some ways to just, wow. And this isn't a light switch. Uncoupling from a system, a belief, a tenet is a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody is bad. I think that I hope nobody's hearing that, right? Like you're like, oh, I suffer from all those things. You're not doing anything wrong. It's just an opportunity to examine what was given to you. Mm-hmm. As Miguel Ruiz said in The Four Agreements, Don Miguel Ruiz said,
the mitote,
what is given to you and what you just come to accept because you were taught it and you were told it and it was modeled to you.
Absolutely. And we have actually covered there's a recent book we covered that really helps with mm-hmm. this and outlines. You can check out our recent episode of 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals mm-hmm. by Oliver Berkman. He goes into how we, from the dawn of humanity, kind of went through our days in this task-oriented, lovely, rhythmic, present way. And it wasn't until the Industrial Revolution mm-hmm. that we really started to think about time as something outside of ourselves and productivity, needing to be productive around the clock mm-hmm. by the hour, mm-hmm. right? Because I don't even think clocks were invented.
Well, there were sundials. There were, glass.
Yes,
sand, but it was glass, sand.
Hourglasses?
That's it.
There's sand in that
like
glass.
Like sand room. Through our fingers, so go the days of our lives. Like,
that's right. You can catch Lisa on the latest episode of your favorite soap opera. But yeah, that really helps to deconstruct it. And thank you for bringing this up. I feel like we could absolutely do like a 10-episode series on capitalism, but I...
And listen, we benefit from it. There are a lot of benefits.
There are a lot of benefits from it. And something that I struggled with, I asked my therapist as I was trying to uncouple this stuff. I said, but what if I don't get as much done? I literally said, what if I don't want to do... What if I... And I don't know that I used the word lazy, but I was like, what if I just can't do this pace anymore? And she was like, well, Misty, you'll just be violating your own boundaries less. Mm-hmm. And it just blew my mind. And
you're like, thanks.
Yeah. And then I literally do a morning practice every day, and it's to try and help with these things as well. And one component is asking for things you'd like to receive that day, mm-hmm. like whether it's just like a moment or a feeling or an actual experience. But we have to write why we get to choose. And I'm just going to put this out here in case this language is helpful for anyone trying to tell themselves, you know, like if you're struggling with reaching out to ask someone for help or to rest, my phrase is, I get to ask for things because I choose to be a conscious participant in my life's unfolding.
Mm.
And that wording, because like it doesn't resonate with me to be like, I get to choose for things because I am abundance and love and a child of the universe. I'm like, no, 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 no. And when I started my own internal work on this subject in particular, I truly, my brain short-circuited and I was like, but what? Why would I be worthy if I'm not doing anything? Mm-hmm. So I just want to say I empathize. Thank you so much for bringing this up. And for those of you listening, please write to us and tell us, like, what is this like for you?
Tell us what lefty commie bullshit artists were spewing on this channel about having intrinsic worth and value.
That's right. But also, are you struggling with this currently? Have you, I don't know that you can ever fully overcome it, but have you transitioned to like a at new center of gravity?
Of or,
like,
yeah, being aware of it.
Are you able to rest and enjoy yourself now? What does life look like? Did that affect your success? Like, we want to know. GoHelpYourselfPodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And also, that book I mentioned, 4,000 Weeks, is also on a very special episode of the podcast that we have recorded. It is our top 10 self-help books of all time. Mm-hmm. This is something that we get asked all the time. And we finally put this together because it is a tough question
to answer. We finally read 10 books.
We finally read 10 whole self-help books. But it is available for download only on our website, gohelpyourself.co. So this is an episode of the podcast that you cannot get anywhere else. It is like a secret.
And just like at the airport, if someone is trying to sell it to you somewhere else, they shouldn't be doing that. Do you know, like when you're like, if someone offers you a ride, they shouldn't be offering you one.
Oh, yeah. So if you see it on the feed, delete it immediately.
Yeah.
Only be on the website.
Don't buy it. Don't buy it.
That's right. But thank you for listening. Sometimes this podcast is like light and airy and it's about how to make your home snuggly with candles. And sometimes it's about internalized capitalism. So,
you know, I take pleasure that I actually presented both of those.
You did. Listen, we're nothing if not dynamic. And if there is a topic, a subject that you are dying for us to cover or would just love a couple different viewpoints on it, email us.
Please.
Get in touch with us. You can get in touch with us at our website or just straight up at Gmail. Again, that's gohelpyourselfpodcast@gmail.com. And with that,
life is capitalistically abundant.
That's right. And internalized. Bye-bye. Go Help Yourself was produced by Lisa Linke and Misty Stinnett. Original music by Matt Sav. Head to our website for all the tips, tricks, helpful resources, and to join our newsletter. We'd love to have you. GoHelpYourself.co.